Well, a new report this morning is sounding the alarm about allergy season. Are you ready? Do you have the tissues? You're going to need it. And as a result of weather patterns and trends, apparently, AccuWeather meteorologists anticipate three different peaks in pollen levels, and it should make allergy season last longer in 2024. So how do we cope? Well, for that, we go to one of our trusted doctors on the morning show, primary care physician Dr. Andrew Wong, who is also the medical director of Hartford Healthcare's medical group in the Fairfield region. Welcome back, Dr. Wong. How are you?
Hey there. Happy Monday, Melissa. Good to be here.
I actually heard you kind of clear your throat in the beginning of this. Are allergies already getting you?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. The one good thing with the chilly weather is it does keep the pollen under control. But pollen season, which normally in Connecticut begins in March, started much earlier this year. It started in February, and that's mostly because of the very mild winter that we had. It gives a chance for tree pollen to get a head start. So what's normally very low to minimal levels of pollen in February was moderate levels of pollen. So we are currently suffering the adverse effects of that.
Yikes. So here's a, I know we've talked about this before, Dr. Wong, which is if you want to get an allergy test done. And I have had follow-up questions from listeners saying, what does that entail? Could you give people an idea of having, first of all, I would think that's something that is recommended by primary care physicians across Connecticut, which is check to see how severe your allergies may even be.
Yeah, that's a very good idea for people that may be unclear. Is it allergies I'm having, or is it just really bad colds? And it can be confusing, allergy symptoms and cold symptoms. But generally, if you have itchy eyes, dry itchy eyes, and a dry throat and a dry cough, that's usually allergies. Now, it could be allergies to food. It could be allergies to certain types of animal danders. It could be allergies to pollen. But thankfully, allergies for pollen, we can actually give you good therapy for, either through drops, which is what we do for children, or maybe for grown-ups, we can do allergy shots. Now, I used to always be a little cynical about scratch tests or allergy tests because I would say, oh, you know, everyone's going to be allergic to the same things, grass and trees. But it turns out that there's other factors as well, and there's different remedies for them. So, for example, if it's, you know, certain types of allergens inside the house, and that could be dust mites, it could be indoor plants, for example, there's definitely preventative things you can do there. If it is tree pollen, though, it gives you the option of doing allergy drops or allergy shots. And the way that those work is, you know, I always found it funny because I'm a big fan of The Princess Bride, and they talk about taking in small amounts of poison and you get a little bit more and then you're immune. That's basically what happens with the allergy shots, is that you get small amounts of that pollen that you're allergic to, and then you get higher amounts each month. And then finally your immune system says, you know what, forget it. I'm not going to
react
form a reaction to this.
Oh, yeah. That's neat. I didn't realize that. Okay. Kind of like vaccines, like when you get the flu vaccine. I mean, it's supposed to really build up your immunity if, in fact, you get the flu.
Yes, it's the same idea. So
okay.
The flu vaccine, well, in this case, it activates your immune system to fight against the real virus. And in this case, we're kind of gently deactivating your immune system.
Right. Okay. But you're what I'm saying is, like, it's you're exposing yourself to the thing that's giving you a reaction.
You are exposing yourself to the allergen.
Okay.
Yep, exactly.
Interesting. Interesting. So we have Dr. Andrew Wong here. And as I mentioned, reports this morning are looking at a much longer allergy season. So allergy sufferers really having a hard time this month, and it's going to continue on for months on end, it feels like. So we wanted to get some different remedies, just different recommendations for how to handle our allergies. And what's interesting too, Dr. Wong, and I learned this because I grew up, I never had allergies. Never, ever, ever. It was never anything I dealt with as a kid, even as a young adult, never had a problem. In recent years, though, I have noticed that I am very, very sensitive to certain environments, or even, for example, I've grown up with dogs and cats my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, my husband and I were talking about having having to put some kind of either filtration system or something in because of their fur. And mm-hmm. You know, that's something I've never needed before, but we do now. So I wasn't sure if you could even speak on the fact that some people may not believe they're having allergic reactions because they never had it since they were kids. But you can develop allergies later in life, correct?
Yes. Yeah, it gets very complicated allergies. So if you've grown up with certain allergens, your immune system, when we're younger, is still learning and adapting. So, gosh, yeah, there's a lot that I could talk about here. One is the allergies that kids now have to things like peanuts and cow's milk and how these allergies are becoming a lot more predominant than, you know, when I was a kid, you know, no one even knew what an EpiPen was.
Right.
And now it seems to be standard. It turns out that because we kind of restrict a lot of food products from kids until they're older, it probably works against us. So things like peanut butter or milk, for example, I think the fear is that, oh, what if my baby's allergic? They might have a reaction, so we're not going to give it to them until they're older. But that almost becomes like a self-fulfilling sort of prophecy thing, because a baby actually has a very tolerant immune system. And so giving them those allergens early is a good thing, because then their body knows that peanut butter is okay. And it's probably the same thing with, you know, pets that we grow up with in the house. If we're exposed to them every day, then no problem. Our immune system recognizes those as not harmful. A lot of the times people will move away from the area. So maybe for college, you go to the Midwest, you go somewhere else, maybe Vermont. And then when you come back to those allergens, all of a sudden your immune system has forgotten. It says, oh, what's this? You know, cat dander, you know, and your immune system will respond to that because
That's so
we took some time away. Yeah, our immune systems are different when we're adults, too. The other thing is that it's not necessarily just the dander. So even if we have an hypoallergenic pet, so I have plenty of patients who have allergy symptoms, the itchy nose, the red eyes, and they're scratching their eyes all the time, and they say, no, I have a hypoallergenic golden doodle. There's no way it's from the dog, but it's not necessarily the dog itself, but our dogs go outside, they play, they roll around in the grass, they get all these allergens. Another heavy allergen is actually pollution. So I-95, for example, has gotten a lot more congested over the years. So,
that's interesting. I didn't even think about that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That pollution
yeah.
could be an allergen. I know it's been more congested, but I didn't even think of pollution being an allergen, but that makes sense. Of course, it's, you know, it's different air quality. That's really interesting.
Yes. Yeah. It all combines. So in fact, that that soot from the car pollution can kind of attach itself to the pollen that we have outside, the tree pollen, to kind of make this super allergen. So the dog, or we leave our windows open, and then they come into the house, they're sleeping in our bed with us, or they're running inside the house, and all those allergens kind of poof, they kind of explode inside the house, and then we get exposed to grass pollen, tree pollen. We get
a
lot of the pollutants.
If you listen to my show often, you know that allergies have been my best friend, and I didn't invite them to be friends. Like, I never send them Christmas cards or anything, but they just keep lingering around. I've become best friends with tea as well, because that's the only way I can pretty much cope. We've got Dr. Andrew Wong here, who is a primary care physician, also the medical director of Hartford Healthcare's medical group in the Fairfield region, and we are talking about this elongated allergy season that we are in the midst of right now. Dr. Wong, you had just brought up a really great point, which is that allergies and allergens, I should say, are coming in every which way, and it's not just the allergens that are tested during an allergy test. It could be from the atmosphere. For example, you said pollution is a big thing that people don't think about. And a lot of times people just open their windows. I was using the example of when you're making bacon and sometimes it gets a little smoky in the kitchen. Your first reaction is let's open the windows, but that could be letting allergens in. What are some remedies or some recommendations you have to remedy the situation? What can we be doing in our homes to break down or eliminate better the allergens that could be seeping in?
Exactly. This is where an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So there's certainly medicines out there for allergies, but number one is prevention. So if you are an allergy sufferer, make sure that you're aware of the pollen reports every day. And nowadays, they're easy to find. They're broadcast over the radio, the television. You can look on the internet. What is today's pollen level or pollen count? And some days we'll have very high pollen counts. And those are the days where you want to stay mostly indoors. That's when you do not want to garden or mow the lawn, for example. But keep those windows closed. So a lot of the times, spring cleaning, we open the windows. But in fact, we can be getting in a lot more pollen and allergens into the house than what we're getting out of the house. So we want to make sure that we're opening those windows on days where it's not windy, because wind will spread pollen everywhere, and also on days when the pollen counts are low. When we do go outside, we want to make sure that we don't bring those allergens into the house. So if we go outside and there's a high pollen count and the pollen kind of tracks to our clothes and our hair and our shoes, when we come in, you want to take all those outer layers off right when you come into the door. So take that outer coat off, take your shoes off, maybe even just change your clothes and leave those outdoor clothes right at the entryway and just throw them into the wash. And you can even wash yourself. So just rinse yourself off in the shower in the afternoon or the evening when you're done after a long day outdoors, and you'll get those allergens off your body. The other things we can do inside the house are to keep any potential allergy triggers out of the bedroom, especially. So that's going to be the pets. It may be impossible for a lot of us, but if you can, try to keep the dogs and the cats from sleeping inside our bedroom or on our beds, or maybe not right next to our face. But
Dr. Wong, you're killing me. So I've never, ever done this until we adopted our most recent puppy, Bruin. We do snuggles before I go to bed at night. He's our little corgi puppy, but you don't want me doing that. That's a no. You're like, no, sorry, Melissa. It's a hard no.
Well,
it's
yeah,
okay. It's fine. You're breaking my heart on a Monday morning. It's fine. Listen, I've been through it before. It's all good.
if possible, on high pollen count days where he's been outside and you can tell for sure, right, you pet him and there's all this kind of white dander stuff that you're getting off his skin, maybe have him sleep in his crate for the night or downstairs. At the very least, run a HEPA-grade air filter. So one of those air filters that will say HEPA-approved air filter. And run that into the bedroom and just run it continuously or when you're sleeping, so that that will suck up any potential allergens that float around in the room.
Where do you get that?
They are available pretty much anywhere nowadays. In the old days, it used to be a little bit harder to find in HEPA-grade air filter, but nowadays all the air filters are mostly HEPA-graded, so Home Depot, Target, you can find one on Amazon. Just make sure that you know the square footage of your room, because a lot of these air filters are only meant to filter out small little, you know, like an office cubby, something like that. But
okay, I'm writing that
just
down.
Make sure.
Check room dimensions. Got it. Okay. I am going to do that as soon as this show wraps up, because we probably could use that even if Bruin doesn't take naps in my room.
Oh, that's a good idea.
yeah. Probably a good idea.
Some people use humidifiers. Humidifiers are not.
I don't like those. I got to be honest. I don't like those. They make me more. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of love or hate with humidifiers. You know, certainly for dry climates in the South, for example, humidifiers are really great just to prevent people with really, you know, dry noses and dry skin. Humidifiers help a little bit with pollen. So what the air, what the little water droplets do that the humidifier emits, they actually bind to pollen so that the pollen just kind of falls to the ground and doesn't stay in the air. But they're not nearly as effective as air filters. So
I'm going to do that. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, an air filter would be a great idea because it sounds like you've got some codependent animals in the house there.
Just a couple. Just a few. You know, it's all good. All my four-legged children, my furry children. Well, Dr. Wong, I think this has been super, super helpful, and we can certainly understand why allergy season not only is going to be around longer, but why it's impacting so many more people. So I want to thank you so much for giving us this information, and I'm sure we will be talking again sooner rather than later.
Oh, you're most welcome. Always my pleasure to be here and talk with you, Melissa.
Thank you again, Dr. Wong. You're the best.
Okay, take care. Have a great week, everyone.
You too. Primary care physician Dr. Andrew Wong, who is also the medical director of Hartford Healthcare's medical group in the Fairfield region here on WICC.